inspired by the Spirit of God, put this message on my heart to share with you today, because some of you need to perhaps stop looking in the past where you've been and need to start looking to the future where God's going to take you. Amen and amen and amen. And I don't know what the Lord has in store for you, but I know this. The Apostle Paul said, forgetting what lies behind, Philippians chapter 3, and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so there's some of us today that God's got the much more. And I'm going to trust and ask the Lord to help us all to see the greater things that God has in store for you and for me. Do you know what Jesus said? I confess to you, I don't understand it completely, but here's what he said. He said in John chapter 14 and verse 12, he said this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me and the works that I do shall do also," and listen, "and greater works," he said, "than these shall he do, because I go to the Father." Now, I would say those are very astounding, astonishing words. For our Lord to say, greater works shall they do. What did he mean? I don't think he meant in power, no doubt about it. But he did mean perhaps greater in influence. I mean, you look at the early church and you see those thousands that were gloriously swept in the family of God, 3,000, 5,000, and 2,000 years the gospel has been preached. And so the Lord said, greater things, greater things. You know, I got to thinking about Jesus and the great things that he did. How many believe that Jesus did some great things? I mean, he raised the dead. He never preached a funeral service. I've had 6 funeral services to preach these last 2 weeks. And it's been a joy and a privilege. But I want you to know, Jesus never preached a funeral service. As a matter of fact, when you look in the Gospels, you find out he arrived at Lazarus' grave. He wasn't late. He's always on time. Can I get an amen? 4 days supposedly late, according to Martha. But I love that account in John 11. Jesus showed up and he said to Lazarus, somebody said he had not called Lazarus. He said, "Lazarus, come forth." He brought him forth from the tomb. Had he not called Lazarus, the whole graveyard would have been empty. Bottom line is this, he raised Lazarus from the dead. And then I read in the Gospel of Luke chapter 7, there was a woman that had a son, the widow of Nain. Her son had died. On the one side of town is a procession of misery, but on the other side of town is Jesus and the disciples, a procession of majesty. You know what happens when misery and majesty come together? I'll tell you what happens. Victory. Jesus raised that boy from the dead. He touched the coffin and said, "Young man, get up." Thank God he's got power over death. There's a third account in the Bible. I'm talking about our Lord today. I'm talking about his miracle working power. And he not only raised Lazarus and the widow of Nain's son, but remember, he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. Not only did he raise the dead, but Jesus talking to us about greater things shall you do, the works that I do, because I go to my Father. Remember, he opened blind eyes. There's a man called blind Bartimaeus. He's over by the roadside. He's broken down at the roadside. Have you ever been there? I've been broken down by the roadside. And blind Bartimaeus cried out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus said, "Your faith has made you whole." He opened the eyes of blind Bartimaeus. He opened the eyes of a man in John chapter 9 who was born, by the way, blind from birth. And Jesus put clay and spittle on his eyes and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And I love what that blind man said. He said, "All I know," when the Pharisees and the religious crowd came, he said, "All I know is that once I was blind, but now I can see. I can testify. Surely my eyes have been opened to see the wonderful Word of God and our glorious Lord." Has your eyes been opened? I hope they have. You know what Jesus did? He took a little boy's lunch and with 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread fed 5,000 besides women and children. And then he took up 12 baskets of leftovers. You say, "Why are you telling us that, Brother Pastor?" I'm talking about Jesus said, "Greater works than these that I've done shall you do." Can you imagine? What kind of works is he talking about? Did you hear about the time that Jesus went walking on the water? The disciples were in a storm, and he comes walking on the water. How many know that Jesus, I don't have a problem with that, my soul, if he made the water, surely can walk on it. And then you know what happened? The old saying was, did you hear about the three preachers walking on water, by the way? A Baptist preacher, Pentecostal preacher, and a Methodist preacher. They were all in the boat, and they were fishing. They decided to push off from the land. All three of the preachers are in the boat, and they're fishing. About that time, the Pentecostal preacher said, you know what? I forgot my fishing gear, and I think I'll go back to land. So he got out of the boat, and he walked on the water back to the shore. The Baptist preacher couldn't believe it. He said, man, that man's got a lot of faith. About that time, the Methodist preacher said, you know what? I forgot my lunch. I think I'm going to go back to the land. He got out of the boat, too, and also walked on the water back to the land. The Baptist preacher said, man, I'm in the midst of great men of faith. He said, if they can do it, I can do it, too. He got out of the boat, and about that time, he sunk like a rock to the bottom. The Pentecostal preacher and the Methodist preacher both looked at each other at the same time and said, should we tell him where the rocks are at? You'll get it later, amen. I'm talking about greater things. Y'all awake today? Amen. I thought the early church was asleep. Y'all are a little more asleep than that. Just kidding. Greater things. Open your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of John, chapter 14. John 14. Stand to your feet, please, as we read the wonderful Word of God. John 14. And then I want you to hold your place in John 14 and look back with me in Isaiah chapter 43. Look at John chapter 14. And we'll look at one verse. And then I want you to please hold your place go back to Isaiah chapter 43. Find Isaiah 43. And then look with me, please, in Isaiah 43, and we're going to look at a couple of verses the Lord quickened in my heart this week to share with you. Greater things. If our God can take Egypt and, Israel and take them out of Egypt and bring them into the promised land, I want you to know God can take you and me and our situation and do greater things in our life. And I want to thank Him for what He's going to do. In John chapter 14, look in John 14, please. If you're there, would you say amen? John 14, the great discourse in regards to the Last Supper prior to our Lord being crucified, raised from the dead, ascended into heaven, and tell the disciples, I'm coming again. John 14, in the context of the account of He being the way, the truth, the life. Look at verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Now flip back to our Old Testament complementary passage, Isaiah 43. Turn back to Isaiah 43, please. And here's the message, greater things. I believe there's three changes the Lord spoke to my heart about. Three changes that must take place in your life and my life if we're going to experience the greater things that God's talking about. Isaiah 43, and look with me please in verse 18 and 19. Isaiah 43, if you're there, say amen. Remember you not the former things, that is, do not call to mind. Remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old, that is, the things in the past. But verse 19, behold, I will do a, what's the next word? Are you sure? I will do what kind of thing? A new thing. Let's say it together. Here we go. A new thing. Say it again. I can't hear you. A new thing. One more time. How many believe that God can do a new thing in your life? Do you really believe it? Do you really believe it? I'm telling you, God's going to break through today for His glory in your life, because we've been looking in the rearview mirror and we need to start looking in the windshield. Wait a minute. Behold, I will do a new thing now. Look at verse 19. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way, a road in the wilderness, and rivers in the desert. Let's pray. Father, now we confess our total helplessness, our inadequacy, our insufficiency, Lord. But you said, Father, your servant said, I come to you not in excellency of speech, that your faith should rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of you, God, in your power, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Now God our Father, we need mighty our illumination today. We need our eyes to be open. We need our hearts to be open. We need our God fresh oil today. We pray the Word of God will fall on good ground. Lord, that You'll help us, dear precious Jesus, to be clean vessels and to come to You knowing that You are, and You said You're rewarder of them that diligently seek You. Oh God, I pray for breakthroughs today, strongholds torn down. Our Lord, deliverances and freedom and victories, our God, get us out of the bog hole of the enemy. Lord, bring us in the, Lord, a new dimension. I pray, God, our Father, help us to see heaven's will for us and heaven's vision for us. And Father, we ask in the name of Jesus for You to get glory and praise for all that You do. Thank You now for the hearts that are going to be challenged and changed. Thank You, Father, for, Lord, for the greater things that You've promised. And God, You're a faithful covenant-keeping God. And all of Your promises in Jesus are yea and in Him, amen. I just ask You, God, to get me out of the way. And may You be seen and may You be heard. And Lord, may You have the preeminence. Thank You for the praise time. Thank You for the singing. But God, we're hungry and thirsty for heaven's help. And we trust You, Father, again, to break through the barriers. Our Lord, to open our hearts and eyes and our lives as living sacrifice. Fill us up, God. Fill us up. I pray for healing where healing needs to take place. And God, for Lord, You to just be high and lifted up. Thank You now for Your word. We bless You what You're going to do. Encourage hearts today. I pray for those that are discouraged and depressed and down. Our God, You break the shackles of the enemy. Bring us, Lord, into that dimension where we walk by faith and live by faith and Spirit-filled and anointed with power from on high. Thank You now again. We love You. We worship You for Your precious blood and for the cross and for the Word of God and for the promises You have for us. God, I pray again, You'll turn us and we'll be turned. You'll revive us and we'll be revived. You'll, our Lord, do what only You can do and help us to submit, help us to yield, help us, Father God, bring us out, our Lord, of apathy and indifference and complacency, and bring us in, our God, the new dimension that You have for us. Help us to line up with what You tell us to do, and we'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. Three changes that need to take place in your life and my life in order to see the greater things. Greater things shall you do also, Jesus said. Greater things than these shall you do because I go to My Father. Three changes. Here they are. Number one, we've got to stop looking in our past in fear and start looking to our future in faith. You get that? We've got to stop looking to our past in fear, the rearview mirror, and we need to start looking to our future in faith. The windshield, the broader picture, the bigger picture, the what God's got in store for His children. Number two, there's a second change, and we're going to see it in the text. Isaiah 43. Number two, not only do we need to stop looking in our past in fear and start looking to our future in faith. But number two, we need to start believing God by faith. We need to start believing the Lord by faith for the greater things in the future. For the greater things in the future. I'm telling you, God says, He said, greater things shall you do. And because I go to My Father. But there's a third change, you'll note, and it's this. Namely, not only do we need to start believing the Lord in faith, and that is greater things in the future, but number three, we need to start, listen to me, start looking to Jesus with the eye of faith, start believing Jesus with a heart of faith, and then getting ready and expecting the greater things with a hand of faith. Receiving the greater things with a hand of faith. I hope you don't miss it. Listen to me. I'll be honest with you. All of you are not going to get what God wants to tell you this morning. Some of you, it's going to go right over you. Some of you, you're not going to be focused. Some of you, you're just not going to be focused. You're not going to get it. You're just going to come to church. You're going to leave. You're going to wonder what in the world Pastor Randy's talking about. You're just not going to get it. I'm telling you, if you really want to hear from God today, you're going to have to concentrate. You're going to have to ask God, the Holy Ghost, to quicken the word in your heart, because this is going to go right over your head. I want you to bear with me for a few moments, will you? Number one, if we're going to see the greater things, number one, we got to stop looking to the past in fear and start looking to the future in faith. Look at Isaiah 43 and verse number 18 again. Remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. If we're going to receive the much more, if God's going to do greater things in our life, there's two parts to this. Stop looking in the past in fear. Here they are. Number one, past victories. Get it down. Past victories. Number two, past failures. Past victories and past failures. Did you notice what Isaiah said? By the way, in the context of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah is the prophet prophesying to mainly the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom of Israel had been overthrown by the Assyrians. Let me give you a quick history lesson. 722 BC, the Assyrians had come in and overtaken the northern kingdom of Israel. And then in 605 BC, the Babylonians, under the commander Nebuchadnezzar, came in and overthrew Israel and then took Israel into captivity with a series of invasions. And so here comes Isaiah. He's coming in, and the latter chapters of the book of Isaiah had to do with God promising his people for a return back to their homeland. How many know that it ain't over till it's over? How many believe that God's not finished with Israel yet? How many believe that you better keep your eye on Israel? I don't care if Iran has bombs or whatever. Thank God, God's always got the final say so. Amen and amen and amen. Well, you're going to see here in a moment, it's going to unfold before your very eyes, that God is a sovereign God, and God is a God of providential. His providential will must take place. So number one, past victories. Do you look at verse 2? Look at verse 2 of Isaiah 43. He said, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with thee. Look at this. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when you walk upon the fire, when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Skip over and look with me, please, in verse number 16. Look at verse 16 of Isaiah chapter 43. If you're there, say amen. Wow. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, verse 16, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth thy chariot and horse, an army and power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. What in the world is he talking about? He's talking about past victories. Isaiah is saying, hey Israel, don't forget what God did when he delivered you out of Egypt. How many remember that Israel had been in captivity for 430 years in Egypt? How many remember that God raised up a man by the name of Moses? How many remember that under God's mighty hand they were delivered out of Egypt? Why? Because the people cried out to God. Why? Because God heard their cry. Why? Because God felt their pain. Why? Because God promises deliverance. How many believe that God still can deliver today? Amen and amen and amen. I'm telling you, God delivered them out of Egypt with a strong and mighty hand. I can see him right now in my eyes. I can see him right now in my eyes. I can see him in my mind's eyes. There they go. They're coming up against the Red Sea. Here's this great big sea in front of them. And all of a sudden, their back's up against the wall. God said, stand still, Moses, and see the salvation of the Lord. Aren't you glad that God will fight the battles for us if we let him? I can't hear you. I said, aren't you glad that God will fight the battles for us if we let him? Here comes Pharaoh and his armies. They have got blood in their eyes, wars on their mind, death is in their hand. And here they come ready to destroy the children of Israel. I can see them as they get to the Red Sea. Moses, what are we going to do? And Moses says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And you know what God did? God just sent a strong wind, stretched forth his mighty power, divided the Red Sea. By the way, if he made the sea, surely he can divide it, amen? And here goes Moses and the children of Israel. They walk across on dry land. That's what he's talking about in Isaiah 43. But meanwhile, Pharaoh and his army, they're in hot pursuit, ready to take them out. What did God do? By the time they got in that water, God just allowed that water to come forth. I can almost see their bloated bodies floating in the water. That mighty Pharaoh, he had to learn that if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Oh, he holds the king's heart in his hand as the rivers of water, and he turns it whithersoever way he will. Proverbs 21:1 says, I remember hearing about a little boy speaking of that great deliverance through the Red Sea. A little boy was in a class with a liberal skeptic professor, teacher. And the teacher said to the little boy, said, son, it wasn't really a sea like you've been taught and all of this in Sunday school and all that. He said, it wasn't really a big sea and all that. He said, son, it was really just an ankle deep water. It wasn't very deep water, just about ankle deep. About that time, the little boy said, woo! He said, glory! He said, man, it was ankle deep water. He said, that's a bigger miracle than I thought. God drowned all them horses in ankle deep water. Tell you that God did it. Past victories. Hey, we've got to start looking to the future. Stop looking to the past and the fear of the past. How many of you today, the devil's got you bound down because my marriage has not worked, and I'm not going to get along with my children, and my job, I've never had a good job. I'm not going to get out of debt. And the devil keeps lying to you, and the devil keeps lying to you. But God's saying, the much more, I've got greater things in store for you. Are you going to let the devil win the battle? Are you going to say, no, Satan, get behind me? Amen, amen and amen and amen. Get up and go, child of God. Why? Because the Lord said the battle is the Lord's. Speaking of battles and victories, one of our men shared this morning, and he shared the other night. He said, I've been bound down with dip. He'd been bound down with dip. Chewing. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. You know, dip. You know, dip. No, dip. Anyway, he said, man, I've been bound down with that thing. He said, since he was about 10 years old. And he said, he gave a testimony. He said, praise God, 50 days. I have gotten the victory over dip for 50 days. He said, thank God, I hadn't had a dip in 50 days. I'm telling you, that is a victory. Amen. Amen and amen. You know what his name? I'm not going to tell you his name, but his initials are Sonny Prince. I'm talking about a victory. Victory. I used to visit a woman over there in the nursing home, and she, when I come in, she was bedridden, by the way. She had that big old watch. She said, preacher, hold on, man. And she'd get out that spittoon and spit in it. And real nice lady. And I told her one day, I said, dear sister, you do know that there ain't going to be no chewing tobacco in heaven. She said, no, I hadn't read that. I said, if you try chewing tobacco in heaven, you're going to have to go to hell to spit. And somebody every once in a while would say, preacher, my mom smoked for years and years. Smoked. I'm talking about cigarettes. She smoked for years and years. And somebody said, preacher, she said, somebody asked me one time, said, will smoking send you to hell? I said, nope, but it'll make you smell like you've been there. Amen. And somebody said, can I go to heaven if I smoke? Yeah, you can go. And you might get there a lot quicker too. Amen. Well, y'all aren't saying amen. I got a bunch of smokers in the crowd, amen. But anyway, hey, look, past victories. Has God done some great things in your life? I said, has God done some great things in your life? We can look back in our life and say, thank God there's been some victories won. Is there anybody here today that can look back in your life and say, God sure has won some battles in my life. Thank God the devil's been bound. Praise God. I've been loosed from the grip of sin and the power of sin. Thank God the penalty of sin. One day the presence of sin. Is there anybody here that God's been stretching for this and the power and doing great things in your life lately? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Amen and amen and amen. But I want you to know, past victories are good. You ought to thank God for them. But tomorrow is a new day. Today is a new day. And this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice. I said, child of God, we're going to rejoice in it. I said, we're not going to be depressed and down. We're going to shout the victory. We're going to thank God. We've read the last page. Jesus is coming again. He's on His throne. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's got everything under control. Amen and amen and amen. Well, and so past victories. But number two, they're past failures. Look over in verse number 14 of Isaiah 43. Past failures can keep us bound down and keep us from moving forward. I'm reminded of a backslidden prophet who was prejudiced in chapter 1. Jonah, he was a prejudiced prophet. He turned into the praying prophet, and then the preaching prophet, chapter 3, and finally the pouting prophet, chapter 4. But one of my favorite verses in the Word of God is, the Word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. You hear me today. Look at your pastor and hear me today. You might have failed yesterday. You might have blown it yesterday. You might not have had the perfect this and that yesterday. But today is a new day, and today is a new start. And thank God, God said, greater things is He going to do in your life. Are you going to believe Him? Amen. And glory be to His name. Look at verse 14. In verse 14, thus saith the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I've sent the Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans who cry is in the ships. What is he talking about? He's talking about this. Watch this. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Here's what he's saying. God is so great. God is so good. I'm telling you, praise the Lord. His sovereignty and His providential will is like a wheel that keeps on turning. God says this. Watch this. Don't miss it. He says, I tell you what I'm going to do, Israel. I'm going to allow a pagan nation like Babylon to come in, take you into captivity. But then I'm going to raise up a pagan king by the name of Cyrus, the Persian king. I'm going to bring him for such a time as this. And God's telling Israel, I'm going to put on that heart of that king to allow my people, Israel, to return back to their homeland. I'm to believe that God can do anything but fail. How many believe that God can use, hear me, don't miss it. How many believe that God can use a pagan nation to accomplish His will? Don't think that He won't use a pagan nation in America to accomplish His will. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. The wicked shall be turned into hell. Every nation that forgets God. If the foundation be destroyed, Psalm 11 and verse 3, what can the righteous do? I'm telling you this. God said to Israel, I'm going to use a heathen king, and I'm going to, the Hebrew word is Aliyah. I'm going to bring my people back to their homeland. Brother, again, you better keep your eye on Israel. God's not finished with her yet. I'm telling you, one day the temple's going to be rebuilt. I'm telling you, one day the Lord's coming back. I'm telling you, one day He's going to sit on His throne and all hell can't stop Him from doing it. Glory, glory, glory. I'm talking about the kingdoms of this world are becoming the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. He's going to reign forever and forever. Bless His holy name. Past failures. Is there anybody here? You've been bound down by the devil. The devil said, you're never going to make it. You're not going to succeed. You can't get out of debt again. You can't go to college. You won't graduate there. You no need to for you to start a new business. Don't think that you're going to be healed. Don't think that you're going to get any better. Don't think you're going to meet the right person. You're never going to get married. Just tell the devil to get behind you. Tell him get behind you. Greater things. I'm telling you, somebody's going to get this. Some of you aren't. Greater things shall you do also because I go to my Father. The other day on Wednesday, I was going over to Barnesville, Georgia to have the privilege of preaching my aunt's funeral. And I noticed outside of Jackson, Georgia, as I was going close to the interstate, a turtle crossing the road. A turtle crossing Highway 36. And I was watching that turtle from a distance as I come up on that turtle. Cars were shoo, 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 flying by that turtle. By the time I got up to that turtle's head was stuck out. Man, that turtle was getting it with all its might. And that turtle, I want you to know, that turtle, watch this, he wasn't looking back. Cars were flying. He was looking ahead. He was going to the other side. I'm telling you, you need to stop looking behind you. You need to stop looking at your past failures. Start looking ahead, because thank God, lift up your eyes. Our redemption draws nigh. Look up, child of God. I didn't say look around at the world and the circumstance of the world and the troubles of the world and the problems we have. But that leads us to number two. There's a second change that God wants to do in your life. If you're going to get the greater things, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, he said, he that believes on me and the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater things. One of the translations says, greater things, greater works shall he do, because I go to my Father. How many want the much more? How many believe God for the much more? Number two, not only do we need to stop looking at the past, but number two, we need to start believing by faith that God is going to bring the greater things in the future. Look at verse 19 of Isaiah 43. Look at it now. Isaiah 43, 19. Don't miss it now. Verse 19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way. Oh, my soul, underline that. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Two thoughts, two parts to what I want to share. Under this heading, God just spoke to my heart. Number one, you ready for this? If you're ready, say amen. Number one, problems become possibilities. Number two, obstacles become opportunities. And the Lord said, number one, problems become possibilities. He said, did you see it? Did you see it in verse 19? He said, look at it again, verse 19, in case you missed it. Behold, I'll do a new thing now, it'll spring forth, and shall you not know it? I will even make, somebody help me, a way in the wilderness. Do y'all see that? If you see it, say, I see it. Amen. A way in the wilderness. How many believe that when there is no way, God will make a way? I need somebody to talk to me right there. I need somebody to say, bless God, I didn't see a way, but God is a mighty God. God is an omnipotent God. God is a God who can do anything but fail. And when there was no way, when it looked like all hope was gone, God stretched forth his hand. God will make a way, because he's God and there is none other. We ought to bless him in the house of God today. Woo! Glory! 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 Now, I want you to know, friend, if you've ever been in a situation where you needed a way and there was no way, but God in his goodness just made a way, you can't help but to shout. Really? God said, I'll make a way. I'll make a way. How many believe that the impossible becomes the possible with God? With men, some things are impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. That loved one that you don't think is going to be saved, God said, I can turn the Ethiopian skin and change the leper spot. God can save from the uttermost to the guttermost. God can move the mountains. The Lord can calm the storm. The Lord can heal hurts. The Lord can do anything because he's God. Y'all know the same God I'm talking about? Oh, listen. With men, some things are impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. You know our problem? Our problems don't become possibilities, but our problems, we focus on our problems more than we do the Lord. I can't hear you. I said we focus on our problems more than we do God. I want you to know that that problem is nothing to our Lord. You know what I've noticed lately? Senior adults. And I love to be around senior adults. But I've noticed sometimes when we get around, not just senior adults, mind you, young adults. You know what we love to do? We love to sit around and whine about all our aches and pains. I can't hear you. Well, my shoulder's been hurting longer than yours, and I've got a backache, and my this hurts and that hurts. Before long, we've already talked ourselves into depression. I can't hear you. I said, I can't hear. We're whining about all of our stuff that's going wrong and complain about all of our problems. And no wonder we're not receiving the much more. No wonder we're not seeing the greater things. We got to get out of that habit of whining about what's going wrong and start praising God, what God wants to do, and start thanking God that my eyes aren't on my problems. My eyes aren't on my circumstances. My eyes are on you, Lord. I know you're bigger than my problem. You're greater than my problem. And God, I know that you can pull me through. I heard about a group of senior adults, and they were all sitting around together. And I'm telling you, young adults are the same way. God help us. We fall in this trap. Have you been whining about all the problems you're having lately? I just pray you'll make your way up to the altar today and say, God, I repent. I'm sorry for whining. I want to start shining. I don't want to start pouting. I want to start shouting. God, you sure been good to me. Amen. Y'all can't hear me. The senior adults come together, and I heard about a group that was saying, one said, man, I've had ankle surgery, I've had knee surgery, I've had hip surgery, I've had shoulder surgery, got cataracts on my eyes, hearing aids in my ears, I've had neck vertebrae problems, got heart difficulty on high blood pressure medicine. By that time, all of them chimed in and said, but aren't you glad? Thank God we can all still drive. Well, that'll bless you, won't it? But wait a minute, obstacles become opportunities. Possibilities, problems become possibilities. And God said, I'm going to take you into foreign land, but can I say something, and y'all don't misunderstand. I want to say this, and the Lord impressed me to say this. Listen to me. I love you, but I didn't plan to say this, but I feel like I need to say this. You sit there and watch Fox News all day long about all the negative stuff and the negative problems and all that. If you don't have a Bible by you, brother, you're going to be in a state of depression. We need to get the Word out. We need to get what God says out. I know, thank God, there's news, but there's greater news. God said the best news is the Word of God. Amen and amen. Come on. You know what I'm saying is true. We get bound down with all the stuff going on around us. These obstacles can become opportunities. God said, I'll make a way. But he said something else too. You see it in verse 19? He said, I'll refresh you when you go through a desert. Aren't you glad? Anybody going through a desert now? You're going through a hard time, a time of where the rivers, God said to old Elijah over there, he said, get back by the brook of Cherith. He said, but the brook dried up. Look, verse 19, behold, I will do a new thing now, which spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness. Praise the Lord. But look what else he says, and rivers in the desert. God said, I'll bring those things. Hey, I made you. I bought you. I love you. I want you to know we're His. Let me tell you what happened to me. Not long ago, I bought a chair 10 years ago for Deanna for Mother's Day. One of these reclining chairs. How many know what I'm talking about? Man, you pull that lever up, baby, and you can get in that chair, but something happened to that chair. I'm talking about something happened to it. It started falling apart like some of us, amen? I mean, screws started falling out of that thing. Springs started falling out of that thing. And once you sat in the chair, boy, you'd sit all the way down to the ground. I mean, you'd go down to the ground. I said, I'm going to get rid of that thing. And then I said, no, I'm not going to get rid of the thing. We paid too much for that thing. Amen. I'm gonna doctor on that thing. Just call me Handy Randy. Amen. I said, I'm gonna doctor on that thing. So I turned that baby up like this, and I said, wow, wood has come apart, nails had come apart, springs had come apart and fallen out, screws and bolts had come apart. I said, well, I'm gonna see if I can doctor on that baby a little bit. And I stretched the springs in and put some new screws in and made some holes for the wood and got ready to put that baby back together. And I sat down in that baby and pulled back chair back, and man, it was more comfortable than it was when we first bought it. By the way, if your recliner tears up, don't call me, amen. call somebody else. But I'm telling that to say this. The Lord showed me, son, you were just like that. I need somebody to talk to me right there. God said you were like that. Your life was coming apart. You were in shambles. You had no direction. You had no meaning in life. You had no purpose in life. But God said, I'm so good that I came and put the pieces back together in your life. I made something beautiful out of your life. I washed you in my own precious blood. I gave you a home in heaven. I said I'd be with you, in you, and upon you. God said that I'm not finished with you yet. I'm telling you, God's not finished with you yet either. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. And there's the third place. If you'll notice, not only do we need to stop looking in the past and start believing God, but number three, Lord, help us to take this step today in Jesus' name. Number three, we need to start looking to Jesus, watch this, with the eye of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The just shall live by faith. Anything that's not of faith is sin. Faith without works is dead. We need to start looking to Jesus with the eye of faith. We need to start believing the Lord Jesus with the heart of faith. And then thirdly, we need to start expecting. Don't miss it. Start expecting the greater things and receiving them with the hand of faith. I want to ask you two questions. I'll be done. Number one, why? Why should we expect greater things? Why does the Lord want to do the much more? And the number two question is, why not now? Number one, why? Why should I expect greater things? And the answer is found in Isaiah 43. Number one, He's our Redeemer. Look at verse 1. He's our Redeemer. Number two, not only is He our Redeemer, He's our Savior. Look at verse 3. Not only is He our Redeemer, verse 1, and not only is He our Savior, verse 3, but verse 4, He's our Lover. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes. Nobody else can love you like Jesus can. And then number one, He's a Redeemer. Two, He's our Savior. Three, He's our Lover. And then number four, He's our King. Look over in verse 15. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. And then number five, He's our Forgiver. Look at verse 25. Verse 25, Isaiah said, I, even I'm He that blotted out thy transgression. Remember thy sin no more. Here's the deal. He's our Redeemer, number one. Job said in Job 19:25, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He shall stand on the earth in the latter days, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Paul picked up that same theme, dipped his pen in ink, and wrote in Ephesians 1:7, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. And Peter joined the crowd when he said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb, without spot and without blemish. John, exiled on the Isle of Patmos, in Revelation 5, in Revelation 7, said throughout the ages, we're going to go through heaven's glory and sing hallelujah. We've been redeemed by the blood, redeemed by the blood. A great multitude, which no man can number, is coming out of the great tribulation, having washed their robes and made white in the blood of the Lamb. We've been redeemed by the blood. We've been justified by the blood. We've been sanctified by the blood. The blood of the Lamb. We've been bought back from sin. Agorizo is the word redeem. It means to buy. It means to purchase. We've been purchased. We've been bought with a price. We've been purchased not to be our own. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. We've been redeemed. We've been bought. We've been bought with intent to go free. And when the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Woo! Glory! I'm talking about redeemed. But then He says, why should we expect greater things? Not only is He our Redeemer, secondly, He's our Savior.
Acts 4 and 12, Luke says, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, the Son of Man's come to seek and to save that which is lost. John wrote in John chapter 3, verse 17 through 19, for God sent not His Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believes on Him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already. And this is the condemnation, that light has come in the world, and men love darkness rather than light. He's the Savior. He's our Savior. Praise God. He's our Deliverer. He said He'd come and save the people from their sins. Have you been saved today? Do you know Jesus today? Have your sins been washed away today? Thank God He saves us not only from the penalty of sin, but thank God He saves us from the power of sin. And sin no longer has dominion over us, according to Romans chapter 6. And one day, thanks be to God, one day we're going to be escorted out of the soul world when the Lord comes back again, and we're going to be forever free from the presence of sin. Won't that be a happy day? I said, won't that be a happy day? Oh, yes, it will. Then, not only is our Savior, but you'll notice He's our lover. Nobody else can love you like Jesus. Young people, you might look in some kind of sexual or illicit relationship. You won't find it there. You won't find it in a husband and wife, a child, a son, or a daughter. You won't find it in a friend. There's only one that can love you with an unconditional agape love. His name is Jesus. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Herein is love. Not that we love God, 1 John 4 and 10, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God commended His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 4 and 19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. Oh, what love. Oh, what manner of love the Father. No wonder the songwriter put it, oh, the love that drew salvation plan, oh, the grace that brought Him down to man, oh, the mighty gulf that God did span. Won't you know He loves you? He don't love our sin, thank God, but He loves us. Amen. And then He's our King. Why? Because He's our King. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. Can I preach a little while right there? John said, I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse, and Him that sat on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness He doth judge and make war. His eyes are a flame of fire. On His head are many crowns. He hath a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. Let's crown Him King this morning. Let's crown Him King, sovereign, ruler, boss. Oh, yes. You know why? Because one day, at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow, and things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, every tongue's going to confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Might as well do it now. He's the King, and He's our forgiver. I'm He that blotted out thy transgressions. Isaiah 45:25. And remember thy sin no more. Imagine, I don't know about y'all, but I know about me. All the sins I've ever committed, hallelujah, washed away, remembered no more. God says, what sins are you talking about? I've washed them away. I blot them out of my mind. I don't remember them anymore. I feel a shout coming on. Hallelujah. Glory! Hey, am I looking at a bunch of self-righteous Pharisees? How many of you, God's got you out of the gutter? Why, you'd still be on booze. You'd still be on dope. You'd still be living in that illicit sexual immorality. But God snatched you out of the fires of hell. And we ought to let everybody know, thank God, my King is King. Amen and amen and amen. I'll be finished with this. Jesus said, greater things, greater things, greater works shall you do, because I go to my Father. A true story. There was a ball game going on, a football game, and two teams were playing. One team was getting, would which say, whooped. I mean, just 50 to nothing. The other team was winning. But the team that was losing, they noticed the fans in the stands were cheering. They were cheering and excited, and even though the team was just getting creamed, as we'd say. They said, something's wrong here, something's wrong here. And finally, they asked him, said, what are you cheering about? Your team's getting killed. And they said, oh, don't you know? We're not looking at the football game. We're looking across the road at the baseball game, and our team's winning over there. Don't miss it, don't miss it, don't miss it, don't miss it. Are you tired of looking around at what's going on in this old wicked world, and it seems like we're losing? Don't look to the wicked world. Look up. Our redemption draws nigh. Our King is winning. I've read the last page. I'm on the winning team. I'm telling you, God's coming back. Jesus is coming back again. And we got something to cheer about. Praise God for Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. All right, today would you stand to your feet?